close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up, whoa, even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you've got to do is call.
This is the Phantom from the World Wide Web. Welcome to Phantom Radio, presented by the Cagle Company, the number one lane maintenance company in the world. For all of your lane maintenance needs, including 24-hour technical support, you can always rely on the Cagle Company. So go to Cagle.net. Well, Phantom fans, we have another special show and a very special guest for you again this week. He was with us back in March. We promised to have him back again. With us is a man who started out to bowl at the age of 5 and bowled in leagues and tournaments from the age of 10 until he was 21, when he had a wreck on his three-wheeler and he did some serious damage to his kneecap. Well, his bowling days came to an abrupt end for about 5 years, and it would never be the same. He did work for 22 years in the bowling industry, starting at age 14 as a customer service rep and then moving up as a mechanic until 2006. He then decided to get out of the bowling industry as an employee, but he still continues to do job placement and locate parts for centers in need, either by phone or via Facebook. Well, now he works in the logistic industry at FedEx, and he attempts to continue to climb the corporate ladder. He had some unbelievable bowling talent training him as he grew up, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. But let's get him out here, and here's a hint to who he is. His name is John Carter. Hello, John. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Lenny. Thanks for having me back on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, my friend, you know, you made a big splash with us last time, and I appreciate you taking the time to be here with us again on Phantom Radio. And I got a lot to talk with you about, but I'm sure you've done several interviews in the past, and I'm sure that you're ready for this, right?
Absolutely. 100%. Let's do it.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, you were here with us back in March, and we had a great response from our listeners. You told us that you were adopted by two unbelievably great people, Don and Paula Carter. And we talked about your youth and growing up with the two celebrities and what that was like. And you also started to tell us about all the other famous people that were always around. Well, that led me to mention that our listeners love stories. And I asked you if you could tell us a few. And you said, yeah, you had a bunch of them. So I says, well, you got to get back here and tell us some stories. So the time is here. So you got one for us?
I've got a few for you. Wherever you want to start. We got stories on cars that my dad owned over the years and his love for cars. Got flying stories where he hated flying, but he had to do it. And a couple stories on gambling. Where do you want to start?
Well, you know, we only got time for some of them, so why don't you just pick one out? We'll go from there.
All right, let's see. My dad had a love for cars, and I would say he had over 100 cars just in the time I lived at home with my parents. And he had anything from classic cars to new cars. A couple of the cool stories, he had one car that was a Mercedes 500 SEL, and that car was actually featured in a couple episodes of Miami Vice.
Wow.
So he owned that car, yeah. And then there was another Cadillac that he had, that he fell in love with, and he noticed it had bullet holes in it. So come to find out later on, when he found out all the information on it and everything, that supposedly that was the last car Jimmy Hoffa was seen in.
Wow.
And so he bought that and ended up owning that for a couple years. And so, yeah, his love for cars was crazy. There was another car he had. He bought this old canary yellow Oldsmobile 88 convertible. He thought it was the coolest car ever, and he brought it home, and my mom hated it. She couldn't stand that car. And he goes, "No, you need to take it out for a ride. Take it out for a ride. Just, you know, take it." And she kept saying no. So finally she gave in one day, and she goes, "Okay, I'm going to take your car." So she went, and she ran a couple errands with it, and everything was fine. And on the way home, the car ended up catching on fire. So she had to pull over, and cops stopped where she was because of the fire and helped put out the fire. So he sprayed the engine and everything with the fire extinguisher, and all that dust from the fire extinguisher got all over his uniform. And he was more than, like, he was mad. And he was telling my mom he had just got the uniform out of the dry cleaners and everything. So they had to get the car towed home. And then when he got there, my dad never heard the end of it after that.
You know, rumor has it, and I got some pretty good sources over the years, that he always had a nice new car, but he hated to drive also. Is that true?
He didn't really like to drive too much, but he loved the cars, and because of the cars, he drove. I guess just his love for cars, he would just drive because of that.
Yeah, he'd always get a couple guys to go with him on the tour, and there'd be three or four guys in the car with him. They'd go town to town, and back then you only used one ball, so it wasn't a big deal to have that many guys. And, you know, they'd all drive for a couple hundred miles, but because he hated to drive, as soon as everybody else went to sleep, he'd drive over like on the shoulder a little bit, and all the dirt would kick up and the fender and all that, and the guys would wake up and go, "What's the matter?" And he'd say, "Well, I dozed off a little bit." "Well, get out of there. You can't drive no more." He was so smart, he never would drive. Everybody else would drive a few hundred miles, but they were all afraid he was going to fall asleep. But it was just a big act. It was great. I love that story. So you got all those. Yeah, I'm sure you got more. How about a gambling story? You got one of those?
Yeah. The first time my dad went out to Vegas, he had just gotten big in bowling, and his name was getting well known around town and everything. So he went out to Vegas, and he had about $2,000 in his pocket, which back in those days, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there probably 2 hours, and he blew through all of it. So the pit boss came by, and they asked him, "Hey, Mr. C, would you like a marker?" And he didn't know what that was. He's like, "Sure, I'll take it." So it was for $1,000. So he got that. He blew through that. And then they kept asking him about three or four times. And he kept saying yes. Well, towards the end of the night, they're coming back. And they're like, "Okay, Mr. C, how would you like to pay us back for the markers?" And he didn't know where he was getting the money from. So he's like, "I'll be right back." And he ran up to his room and called Eddie Elias for a loan to transfer him money, so then that way he could get the marker paid off.
Man, for those listeners that don't know, Eddie Elias was the owner, founder, and everything of the PBA, and they were great friends. And I'm sure Don had paid him back many, many times, because, you know, he made the PBA famous. Between him and Dick Weber and a few other guys, they started the PBA, and that became very successful in the 60s and 70s for sure. But I love that gambling story. You know, there's another one that I heard. I can quickly tell you about it. But a friend of mine who loved bowling, he's at a casino one time, and he hears the name Don Carter. "Don Carter, come up here, please." And he's thinking to himself, God, I know a Don Carter. He's a bowler. I've never seen him before, but I can't believe he's in this casino. So he runs over to where this guy is talking on the microphone, and up comes Don. He says, where were you? He says, I was playing a slot machine. What are you calling me for? They says, you just want a brand new motorcycle. And he, wow, that's awesome, you know. This guy couldn't believe that Don Carter won a motorcycle. So do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was over at Mardi Gras, and he was so excited he won that motorcycle, he couldn't drive home, and my mom had to drive up there to go pick him up just to get him home.
Oh, that's great. Hey, John, I need you to hang on for a minute or two because I need to tell our listeners about this month's Storm Bowling Trivia Contest, okay?
No problem.
All right, well, Phantom fans, this week we're going to have another one of our popular Storm Bowling Trivia Contest. And as you know, we have a Storm Bowling Trivia Contest every month, and we award a lot of great prizes. And this contest will go for 3 weeks, so you'll have to submit your answer to me before midnight on Sunday, May 26th, to be eligible to win. And remember, these monthly contests are open to Phantom Fan Club members only. All right. The trivia contest question is, what was the number one bit of advice that you remember Don giving you as you were growing up?
Keep the ball out of the gutter.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, that is some great advice, you know. Only trouble is, that's the hardest spare there is when you got to knock them all down. But that's a great question. I hope that our listeners will be sending in that question, because that's a great one. So, Phantom fans, you must send me that answer before midnight on Sunday, May 26th. And send your answers to me at saveoursport@yahoo.com. And remember, you must be a Phantom Fan Club member to participate. So, join today. Okay, John, we're back from that short break, and you were telling us some great stories. And it reminded me of one more that I got to tell everybody, because I've told this before, but it was probably one of the most emotional things I ever saw on the tour. And it was in the early 70s, and Don was bowling a few tournaments here and there. He was pretty much at the end of his competitive career, but every time he'd show up at a PBA event, he was the number one attraction. And he's bowling one day, and it's about a B squad, and it's in the afternoon. And there's about 300 people in the bowling center, and this was in Fresno, California. And there's a roar going up in the crowd, and it's a two-sided house. So I went down there, and I was looking. He's got a four-bagger, and there's about 290 people behind him, and only about 10 people in the rest of the bowling center. So I'm in the bleachers sitting up there right behind him, and I'll be darned if he didn't shoot 300. And I got to tell you, man, the place went crazy, and he was just so calm and cool and casual, and he was always so first class. He walked back with all the grace that he had, and he was waving to the crowd, and people were jumping up and down, and they were all really happy, and there was only one person that was crying in the crowd. That was me, because I figured that might be his last competitive 300, and it certainly was. But I'll tell you what a sight that was, and I'll never forget it, Parnes. But all right, I got to go to you now. It's got to be your turn again. So you got one for us?
Yeah, and I've got a flying story with him and Dick Weber. When my parents were out in Vegas, and they were coming back, and they got to the airport, and they ran into Dick Weber. So on the way back, they had a layover in St. Louis, and they were talking to Dick, and they were telling him, listen, you don't want to get on this plane with us. We're the worst flyers. We always have problems. There's always mechanical problems. There's flight delays. You don't want to fly with us. So Dick told my parents, he's like, no, you guys don't worry about it. You're flying with me. I've never had a bad flight. Don't worry about it. So they get on the plane, and they taxi out, and they get to the tarmac, and the plane's delayed. They're sitting on the tarmac for about 2 hours. So they say, oh, we've got a couple problems, but we're going to take care of them. Just everybody hang tight. And they bring the plane back to the gate. So So my dad's getting upset, and he doesn't like flying to begin with. And so he's there, and he finally gets up, and he's like, I'm getting off this plane. So he walks up to the front of the plane, and the stewardess goes, sir, you need to take your seat. We're not disembarking. Nobody's getting off of this plane. And he goes, listen, I don't care what you need to do, but I'm getting off of this plane. So he talked his way to get them to open the door, and he gets on the jetway. He's on the jetway, and there's, I don't know if it was a pilot or who it was, but they're like, sir, you need to get back on the plane. And he goes, you get the F out of my way. And he took off, and he was out of there. So then now my mom, she's got her mother with her. There's a friend of ours, Lisa McGoldrick. There's like three or four other people that are in this group with my parents. And my mom, she stands up. She's getting all the luggage out of the overhead compartment. And the stewardess is like, what are you doing? You can't get off of this plane. And my mom's like, that's my husband. He's elderly. If he's getting off of this plane, I'm getting off of this plane. You're not keeping me on this plane either. So they're taking down all this luggage and everything, trying to get around the people, and they get off of the plane. They ended up having to get a hotel room and stay overnight, and then they all got like separate flights on the way home because they couldn't get a flight together. And then so then when they do get home, they call Dick. And they're like, you see, we tried to tell you, don't fly with us. It's never a good thing. And then later on after that, Dick Weber's wife, Juanita, she ended up telling my mom, she's like, Dick is never allowed to fly with you guys anywhere ever again.
Oh, man, I had to see that. That's beautiful. You mentioned Lisa. She's an old friend. And, you know, I saw her the last time I was down there. In fact, I was down there to award the Flowers for the Living Award to Paula a few years back, and Lisa was there, and I'll tell you, man, what a great story. And unfortunately, we're running out of time, and I want you to save up some more stories. I'm going to have you back, because not only do the listeners love these stories, but I love to hear them too, my friend. So you save a few more up, and we're going to do this again, and you stay close by the phone, all right?
Yep, I will. I love telling them.
All right, Barnes. Well, I can't believe how quickly the time flies in this show. And that's probably why they say it's the fastest show in all of sports. But once again, I want you to know that I really appreciate you being on with us and giving our listeners all the information that you did. And I enjoyed talking with you, so thanks again for taking the time to be here. You keep up the good work. You stay close by the phone, because we're going to do this again real soon. And give my love to your mom. And tell me before we leave, is she still afraid to fly too?
Yeah, she's still afraid to fly too. I can't get her to fly to Orlando. So, yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm trying to get her to go somewhere and take a vacation, but it's not easy.
Well, why don't you grab her and come out here in California? You know, just one long flight. You go to sleep the whole time, and we'll go out and have a great time. But I know that's like, I don't know, the hardest thing in the world. Probably like picking gum out of a hot carpet or something. But all right, my friend. Well, that's going to wrap up the show. And hope that you all enjoyed hearing from John Carter. And we look forward to talking to all of you again next week. We'll have yet another interesting guest to talk to. And please be sure to tell your friends about the show. In closing, we sincerely want to thank our sponsors, EliteBowling.com, Storm Bowling Products, and Brad Edelman with his famous high roller and military championship, along with our good friend Dave Kowalski for their value and continued support of our show. We appreciate all that you do. We keep coming back to you every week. So for Phantom Radio, this is a Phantom. Summer or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you've got a friend. If the sky should grow dark and full of clouds.
wind should begin to blow. Keep your head together and call my name out loud now, baby. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call.